Hi, thanks for listening. This is the It's a Widget Flutter podcast. My name is Hilla Korn. Each episode, we get a chance to speak with another amazing member of the Flutter community. This episode, we're extremely lucky to speak with Divyanshu. Welcome.
Thank you, Hilal. It was, thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on. So to start, you want to share a bit about yourself?
Sure. Hi, I'm Divyanshu Bhargav. I'm a Flutter and Dart Google developer expert. And I'm also co-founder of Stack.dev, where we are building a server-driven UI framework for Flutter. Apart from that, like I started my journey like maybe eight or nine years back as a mobile developer. So initially I was a Java developer. I spent a little bit of time as a Java backend developer, but I really fell in love with the mobile apps. I love using them. And that was also the time when mobile apps were booming a lot. So I was like, no, I want to be the one who's building them. So then I moved to Android development. I did Android development for quite some time. And I think that was a time when like people were shifting. Like it was a time of Eclipse before Android Studio, if I think some people remember. And then Android Studio came, a great IDE for all the Android developers back then. Yeah, after some great time with Android development, I moved to Flutter. Mostly on the mobile app development, developer tooling, open source. And lately I've been working on server-driven UI and generative UI. So, yep, that's it.
Very cool. And do you remember how you first came across Flutter?
Oh, yeah. So I think it was very early on. So I was one of the very early adopter of Flutter. So I remember I was sitting in a cafe in Bangalore waiting for my friend. So, and this was a time I was doing like, I was a very big native Android developer, I didn't like any other cross-platform frameworks or anything. So a friend of, and I knew there's something Flutter, I heard about it, like declarative UI. And that was a time when Android didn't have any declarative UI, it was using XML and all. So I met my friend in the cafe after a long time, and I didn't expect him to come and talk to me about Flutter. And I think the first thing he showed me was the list view in Flutter. So how we used to do list view in Android was we used to write like XML page for recycler view. Then we used to write the recycler adapter. Then we used to write the recycler view class and then connect everything together. Like it was like above maybe 100, 120 lines just for a simple basic list view, recycler view. My friend showed like you can do all that in Flutter with like 4 or 5 lines of code. And that was my like first wow moment. And the second was the hot reload. Like I'm like, oh, really? I can just do the hot reload and I don't have to wait for all the Gradle builds and building the app. And I was like, yeah, this is what it should be. This is a huge time saver for all the mobile devs. And like, this is what I was actually looking for. And then, this is cross platform. You can just ship everything to like Android and iOS. And like I said, I was an Android developer, but I knew that iOS have a great market for the app development and users. So I also wanted to jump into that space, but as a native developer I couldn't. So like Flutter just sounded like a perfect choice, and that's how I first met Flutter, and I fell in love. I still remember like after coming back, like I went to a party with my friend after that, and after the party you will never think that someone will come back and just start coding. So after that, I just came back and I started coding in Flutter. I started looking into it. And then I actually looked specifically for companies who are adopting Flutter very early on. And I think this was in like early 2018 or maybe late 17, something like that, when Flutter was in alpha or beta stage. So yeah, so I found a company then, which was building a marketing tool for Flutter, and then I joined them, and since then I'm just into Flutter.
It's amazing. I think many people have very similar first experiences with Flutter. You adopted a certain approach to state management or just architecting apps in general?
I think we probably need a whole another podcast for state management and all that. But I think my two takes on that is, like, I personally have not, like, loved any architecture for state management. Like, there are apps, companies where I have worked, and we have used a different state management in one app and maybe in different in another. Like, I feel like, I think it's a very debatable topic, but I don't think so there's one perfect state management solution for everyone. The best one is usually the one your team understand, the one you can maintain, and one you can use consistently. And I think the best architecture for you would be that increase your, I think that increase your efficiency rather than like slowing you down. So I still remember, like, I think this, again, this is a very debatable topic, but I still remember I was working in one of the team, and this one guy has to build a simple about us page for a app, and then people usually spend a lot of time architecting it and all that. So it was a simple static page, and like people spend maybe sometimes 2 weeks, 3 weeks, because they are architecting a lot. And like, I personally feel that if like a good state management should also like help you ship faster while keeping your all the good practices. So yeah, but if you ask me my personal favorite, I think it's like Flutter, Block, and Cupid. So those are my personal favorite. But I've kind of used like all of them in some of the other apps, like Riverpod, Providers, and all that. And I feel that in for the lot of small apps, like even your set state or value notifier would also do a great job. Like, you might not need maybe a Riverpod or Block if it's a small, a basic application. But yeah, if your app grows, then you can either choose like Riverpod, Block, or any other state management tool. But yeah, like I said before, like, I think what we need to see is what we can, our team can understand, and what we can maintain and use it consistently with our team.
Nice. That makes sense. And so when we first introduced yourself, you talked about Stack Dev. Can we go into detail about this? Is this a company that you created? Is that correct?
Yeah. So like I said, I'm a CEO and co-founder of Stack.dev along with my co-founder, Rahul. So Stack.dev is a server-driven UI framework for Flutter. And it is kind of slowly adopting to be a lot more than that, but the whole idea of server-driven UI, or I think the whole idea of Stack behind this was, I think Flutter is a great tool, right? It actually helped us to grow from, it actually helped you ship faster, right? Like, to go from idea stage to execution stage, like building the widget screens quite fast. But the problem stays with the whole ecosystem. Like, I remember, like, when 8 or 10 years back, or like even when the App Store and the Play Store were first live in 2008, it was still the same process that you build the APK, you deploy it to App Store and Play Store simultaneously, and then you wait for the stores to review your app. And once it's approved, like after 1 or 2 weeks, sometimes, and like if you're lucky, it will be 2 or 3 days, your app goes to live to users. But even then, your user might not update the app. And I think this has happened with me in a lot of organization, companies, and with a lot of clients we have worked with, that there is a serious bug, or there's a serious issue, or there is let's say it's Christmas and you want to send some new banners, new UI, new theme, or the new app, but your users are not updating it. And it's not like they have not updated from last 6 months or all that. And not everyone have the auto updater on their app. So that was the issue which we faced a lot. And we thought that this is something, like, it should not be like in like today's time when the web is moving faster. Like, this is, and it's kind of also like, I am also a bit jealous from the web developers, because they can just write code and ship it in seconds, right? Where mobile devs have to wait for days, if not weeks, to ship their apps. And I was like, no, this is something it should be fixed. And so that's when I started working on server-driven UI. So what server-driven UI is, it actually helps. So it actually takes all your presentation logic and it sends, stores it on the server. So basically you have some predefined widgets and components on your app, and from the server you send a JSON. And that JSON not only consists like what to show, but it also consists the whole presentation logic, like which screen will come, what elements, what data to be shown. So for example, your JSON can have an app bar, then it can have a map of app bar with the title and the strings, then it can have a map of a list, and similarly it can have all the JSON for all the components. And then there's a stack framework which basically takes your JSON and convert it into the Flutter widget. So what happens is, the next time you want to update your app, instead of you changing anything on your app's code, you just need to tweak the JSON and your app is updated. So it's as simple as that. And this actually takes a step further, because today you have AI, right? And by the way, before we move forward, I think server-driven UI, it sounds like a new technology, but it has been live from so long. Like all the big companies you see today, like Netflix, Airbnb, Spotify, and like Twitter, all the major companies, mobile apps are using this technology. And that's why you see, like, you open the app and somehow it's updated, and that's how they're updating their apps. So yeah, and now we are trying to take this step, like, with one more step forward. Like, we are trying to take this as one more step forward into the world of AI. Like, imagine, what if you sending JSON from the server, what if AI can actually, like, write the JSON and on the real time. So instead of AI giving you a text response, it gives you a response in JSON for the widgets, and you can run it with the stack framework on the runtime. And that's what the generative UI is. I think people might have seen Flutter Gen UI that also works on a very similar tech. So we are kind of also exploring and launching that into that. So yeah, overall, like, currently, coming back to Stack, currently Stack is being used by a lot of companies around the world. So they're helping, we are helping ship their apps faster. And we have built the whole tooling around it. So we have built a Stack CLI. So what it does is, instead of you writing JSON, because writing JSON is actually really tough, you can actually just write the Dart. And the Stack CLI will convert the Dart into JSON and deploy it for you. So we have built Stack Cloud, we have built Stack Studio. So we have built the whole tooling around it. And now we are kind of integrating AI on top of that.
Wow, that's amazing. That sounds great. So with the AI implementation, would users bring an API key, or is it packaged in? And how does pricing work on the platform?
I think initially we are So this is something which we have not released yet. We are still, this is still under major development. The initial part of this would be a user can bring their own key and use it. So I think, let me also explain, give a generative idea of how, general idea of how generative UI works. So like today, lot of most apps are integrating AI into their applications. Like we have seen a lot of companies having chatbots and all that, but the AI is great. But one problem it have is it respond, it give a lot of text response. And like we human, we and like we, I think the UI is done a great job for us, for interacting with the applications, interacting with the bits, ones and zeros and everything. And it looks like a step back if everything is a text response. So for example, let's say I'm finding best restaurants around me, and I'm using ChatGPT or Claude or Gemini. It just gives me a text prompt. It like these are like these are the list of top restaurants around you. But imagine if AI can, instead of giving a text response, it gives you a UI. So instead of saying, hey, these are the restaurants like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it actually shows you a UI with the cards and everything for the restaurants. So imagine you can do that with your application. Like a lot of developers, a lot of companies are actually integrating AI into their application, and they just don't want to have a simple chatbot. This is something going to be quite useful for them. So yeah, initially we are launching it as an open source SDK. You can just put in your key. So we are going, initially we are going to give support for Claude, Gemini and ChatGPT. So you can just put your Claude, Gemini, ChatGPT key and just start using it.
Nice. Interesting. And if someone wants to get started, just go to the website and download SDK, or how's the process to set it up?
So it would be, it would be something like, there would be a stack Gen UI per package. So you can just, so it is, I think it will be out maybe within a month or so, but you just take, install like pub add stack gen UI, you put your key, and then there are two things. You need to tell what kind of UI you would, the AI would like to build. So you can be as generic, like build anything, and then it can literally build anything for you from a whole app to a small widgets. Or you can be very specific. Let's say you are a restaurants app or a travel app. So then you can be very specific that I want you to give the restaurant, show the restaurant cards and restaurant detail cards. So the AI will only build those components for you. And so behind the scene, it uses all the stack components. So stack is using all the material UI components right now. But it also have an ability so that you can add your own custom components. So let's say you or your company is using some of your own custom components or your own custom design system, you can inject that into the SDK, and you just pass a prompt that you are a, let's say, restaurant assistant. If user asks you for a restaurant suggestions, you respond them with let's say a restaurant card or restaurant detail card, and in this manner, and you can explain it. And every time user just asks in the chat that, hi, I would like to see, let's say, pizza restaurants around me, it, instead of giving a text, a long list of text, it will give you an actual card which you can just click on, expand, and as a proper UI for you to view.
Amazing. That sounds great. So just switch back to Flutter in general. Is there any advice you give someone who's just starting out?
I think I think two pieces of advice would be, don't try. I think I see one thing with the youngsters is they try to learn everything, and then they get confused, and especially with the state management. And I think we all were there, like some point of our time, like we were thinking whether to jump into river pod or straight or block or and all that. So my point would be to start building stuff. And actually, that is something which we really need people. I really want people to build more and more stuff, like whether it's a mobile application or it's packages or new frameworks, because I think Flutter kind of lags there. We need more tooling, more developer tooling, more packages out there. And so my choice, like I think this is something which I did when I was starting, like start building applications for you. So let's say if you use a calculator, try to build it for yourself. If you use a to-do app, try to build it for yourself. Like any app which you're using, just think that, hey, let me build this app for myself. So that's one thing, and just keep building. I think, of course, you can take courses and learn, but I think nothing beats than building more and more application. And I think second take is now we have AI, right? And people are using, like, it's a great tool for like writing. It can write thousands and thousands of lines of code within seconds, probably faster than any human right now. Maybe not better as of now, but definitely faster. So I see a lot of youngsters using AI to build apps, and it is totally okay if your goal is to ship new like ship the app or like start your startup. It's perfect. But if you are learning, then use AI to learn it. So instead of asking AI to, let's say, build something, ask AI, how can I build something like this? And AI is like such a great tool. I don't know, like if you saw the Stack Overflow data, I think it has dropped a lot. Like very few people are going to Stack Overflow right now, and probably because AI have answers faster for you. And it can actually help. Like, let's say you write a code and you can ask AI to analyze your code and give you tips how you can improve it. So AI is a great tool depending upon how we use it, but you can definitely like use it to learn and become a really good Flutter engineer. Yeah, but try to learn with that. Don't try to just build things with AI and you're not sure how your code is written. Oh yeah, one more thing which I would love to give advice to people who are starting out, and maybe it might be a bit overwhelming, but try to understand the how Flutter framework works, like how the text widget is written, how the a tree is being built, how the render objects are being built. Like the more you try to understand the basics, how it works behind the hood, the stronger and better you will get in Flutter development. So yeah. Those are my three hot takes for someone who's starting out.
That's good advice. And yes, that Stack Overflow graph is pretty scary. It's kind of straight down.
Oh yeah. Like I never thought, to be honest, like I never thought like in such a short amount of time, like people will just stop using it. And I remember there was like just few years back, if there was like outages on Stack Overflow, people are going crazy. Hey, Stack Overflow is offline, it's not there, it's down, we can't code without it. But I think AI has taken that spot.
Clearly, yeah. And finally, is there anything else you'd like to add or promote?
I think, yeah, nothing. I would just say go and check out stack.dev. Do try it out and do let us know how you feel. And if you have any questions, we have our Discord community. So that's where you can go and you can like ask any questions or help each other. So, yep, that's it.
Awesome. So we'll make sure to include links in the show notes. Anyone wants to learn more and be able to join the Discord. Divyanshu, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. It was a fun time.
Thank you. And thanks for listening. Until next time.